All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Canvas CIT Nights podcast. I hope all of you are doing well. It is your co-host, James Smith, with my classmate and co-host,
Dustin Brunette. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great, Dustin. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. We have a treat for you guys tonight. We have a IT expert in the house on it. We're going to be interviewing him. His name is Bridger Moreland. He is also our instructor at Tennessee College of Applied Technology, Nashville. He has so much knowledge. How are you doing today, Bridger?
Hey, I'm doing just great. Looking forward to this. I think I am your easy interview. Is that how this works?
Sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, call me the available interview. Yeah.
We're not big time yet, guys. Someday we'll be interviewing Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and the like. But for now, it's Bridger Moreland.
Hey, I consider myself as important as Elon Musk.
You
Maybe
are.
Not Mark.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
So oh, I don't. Go ahead.
I'm going to start off with a question. So, Mr. Moreland, as it is, what are some of the most common mistakes made by the IT specialists you've worked with? And can you think of any way that we can avoid making those in the future as we move towards our careers?
Oh, absolutely. I believe I've learned a few things the hard way. So one of the reasons I got into teaching was maybe help people avoid a few of those things. One of the biggest mistakes I made starting out is not documenting a lot of processes or changes. I am not a detailed person, as you can attest as being my students, but early in my career, I made some changes to systems without keeping thorough notes, and when things broke, I had to retrace my steps, and that became a huge nightmare, because even if it was just something that I fixed last week, I would be doing so many things that I would forget what I did. So now documentation is a priority for everything I do. I kind of went overboard for a while there, and I took very detailed notes to try to avoid some headaches again. And now I think I've in the point where I've found that balance of just enough documentation and not going overboard with it and not doing, just leaving things undone and spending a month spinning my wheels trying to remember what I did to fix it the last time. But, learning to balance thoroughness with deadlines, as well as the importance of clear communication and teamwork, really can help avoid a lot of errors.
Okay, good to know. A lot of knowledge packed in there. So documentation, learning how to work with people.
I know it sounds like a really boring thing, but it definitely avoids some headaches in your career down the road.
Sounds like it. What do you think about it, Dustin?
No, it makes sense. I'm doing that now when I'm going over new material as far as like retaining stuff that I can come back to later on. So that's good to know.
Well, I'm not going to pretend like I came out into this career doing those really wonderful things like that, like I preach in the classroom. I was what they refer to as a cowboy developer, fly by the seat of the pants and do amazing wizardy things. And have no clue how I did it later, but I did leave a lot of undocumented stuff in my wake doing that.
I'm definitely going to keep all of this in mind, which is why I'm glad we have you instructing us so you can help us not make those mistakes.
Oh, yeah, it's just like raising kids. Do what I'm telling you, not what I actually did.
Dustin, do you have anything that you want to ask next?
Yeah, I was curious if you had any like tips for staying engaged, constantly learning and managing once you've been like working for a while, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the big thing is finding projects or areas of technology that really excite you. Even if they're outside of your current job scope, for me, it's teaching others, obviously. And, working on some side projects to keep things fresh, I still dabble in a lot of things. I just can't completely step away from doing technology. I think it helps me as both an instructor and for my engagement to still dive in and learn new things. For me, I like to join a lot of online communities or attend conferences where I'm like surrounded by all these people building up a lot of energy or even mentoring others helps me stay inspired and keeps me going. I think the biggest thing when you're starting out, it can be overwhelming your first couple of years in technology, but You know, if you set goals for learning new skills or earning certifications, just anything to help keep a growth mindset of I can do it, there is a path, there is always something new, there's always a way to expand what I know and implement in new ways. You know, because there's always something new to explore in IT. It's such a broad field that's always growing. It's for me, it's easy to stay engaged in it. You can't grow complacent on, okay, I've learned this skill, I am an expert in it, because you're not going to go very far knowing that one skill, or even if it's 20 skills, those aren't the same skills that'll take you anywhere in about 5 years. So it's a never-ending educational platform, which knowledge that I gain itself is engaging for me.
Cool. Dustin, what did you think about that answer?
No, that was great.
Am I being graded on my answers? Is this how this is flipping?
Totally. You get an A++.
Okay, on that one question. Great.
That was very good.
So I had another question before there's one question I really want to ask. So I'm going to say that for the last question. But what do you think about when someone's looking for a job, how do you think they should consider weighing like stress, difficulty, and pay when they're choosing their career path?
Yeah, that's a good one to juggle, because, you know, that changing jobs can definitely feel risky, and sometimes it is, but, you know, thorough research helps to mitigate a lot of uncertainty around that. You need to look for companies that actually have a good reputation for supporting their employees, and actually read and look at their mission statements and make sure it aligns with your own personal values. I think one of the things that I've done before I accepted any roles was network with the current employees. I tell you, they can give you a very candid perspective on what it's like to work for that company. Personally, I found that prioritizing growth opportunities over any type of short-term benefits, like, say, pay alone, has led to much better career satisfaction for me, because those quality opportunities often come with mentorship and training and projects that'll challenge you and push you to grow. And that's where I tend to gravitate over. Yes, this is what it pays per year. Take it. I don't usually go after the big dollar signs if it doesn't also come with that type of satisfaction that's going to keep me engaged and want to be there.
That is a great answer. You know, it makes me think about it. You know, if you choose a job that you like, and it's not just based on pay, you spend less time during the workday staring at the clock waiting to go home.
Exactly right. I don't even have a clock in my office right now. That's how much I love working with you guys.
Awesome. Dustin, you have another question before I ask my most anticipated one?
I can't wait for this question you're building.
Yeah, I think that actually covered what I had. Yeah, I was curious about recognizing opportunities and managing the risk, but it sounds like if you look into it enough and network, that should basically take care of itself.
Yeah, it does. It can be kind of stressful to look at different IT roles, because IT itself can be pretty stressful. You know, we're the people in charge of fixing stuff when systems go down or security is compromised. And I'll tell you, that is not a fun position to be in when you have a cybersecurity breach. But it's important to develop a lot of stress management strategies around things like that. You know, what I teach you to do in the classroom, break problems into smaller, actionable steps. You know, on the positive side, the satisfaction of solving those kind of problems and improving systems and turn people's lives on what they're having to do at work can definitely outweigh the stress for me. When you're talking about pay and stuff, it completely varies. But, you know, you invest in certifications and specialized skills, and that leads to better opportunities and things. I think it's more about the match that you find, where you're finding some fulfilling work that will make you want to stay there, and staying adaptable, willing to learn new technologies definitely pays off, not just in more rewarding work, but both financially and professionally, it definitely pays off to stay adaptable.
So my most anticipated questions, kind of a 2-in-1. I really want to know if you have like a personal story from the IT realm that you'd love to share with us that's a little bit exciting, but also, because I'm a Marvel fan, I love comic books. Do you think it's possible to build a functional Iron Man suit in the real world, like our world?
Oh my goodness. All right, Iron Man suit question first. Of course, the first time I saw Iron Man in the theaters, I was like, whoa, that's some technology that I really want to start working on. And, you know, bit by bit, I've learned or seen others who have learned how to do different things that are portrayed in movies. And that's been a recurrence on any movie that's been out there for science fiction. A lot of science fiction has gone straight into, we actually use that. In fact, the old tricorders on Star Trek look pretty puny in comparison with most of our smartphones in our pockets nowadays. But an Iron Man suit, yeah. You know, that's an exciting challenge because when you think about it, you're blending robotics and artificial intelligence and energy storage and all this concept around materials science. I don't think we're quite there yet, but the progress in wearable tech and exoskeletons definitely shows how innovation and IT and engineering is all working together to drive us closer to those type of possibilities. I mean, you can YouTube some videos of guys actually taking off with little power bullet looking things in their hands and hovering above the ground. And of course, Iron Man's suit has a lot of functionality built into it, but we're doing little pieces and parts of it now. So I would say, give it 20 years or so. It's a great reminder that IT isn't just about screens and software. That stuff's boring and been here for a while. It's about building tools that empower humans to do more. And that's what I hope I'm teaching you in this whole thing. As far as the exciting things to share, it actually is on the same line there, James. Some of my most memorable, exciting projects to get involved with had to do with edge technology, where we can take computing power out into the field and actually do something with it that empowers humans to do better. You know, it collects the data for them and helps them make better, more informed decisions. And it affects how a whole business runs, and it can fit in the palm of your hand and cost about $60 to put out there. So, you know, things like monitoring safety in the field on construction sites and making sure that workers aren't in some type of health risk or just making life better for them. I think that is amazing technology to get into, and it actually plays on several things that was built into Iron Man suit, 16, 20 years ago now? It's fun to see that happening in reality.
That is a very good answer to that. Dustin, I'm guessing you like that answer too, because I got a lot of
thumbs up on that one.
Yeah, 100%.
This is great. I feel like I'm actually passing this exam.
Dustin, before we wrap up, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
Nah, nothing specific like that. Okay. That covered just about all of it.
Okay, so I'm not going to lie to you guys. This kind of went past my attention span, yet I still lasted. So I can only imagine that you guys' attention span probably isn't that much longer.
I feel like your attention span is probably the few ones that I know that's less than mine, James, but it's great. You're my brother in ADD. That's great.
So we're going to go ahead and cut it short here. But like I've said on the past ones, guys, stay up to date and tune back in for the next time. And Dustin, do you have an outro for the people?
I think you got that taken care of.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
So we're going to go ahead and sign off. Thank you, Bridger, for coming. Clap, 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 applause.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. And we're signing off, guys. Have a good one.